Let us rise. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the book of Jonah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth, with its bars, closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, who rested in the belly of the earth, and then was resurrected back to life on the third day, dear fellow redeemed. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, our Lord tells us, I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere. No place is too unusual or too strange that we as Christians cannot lift up our hearts and hands in prayer to our triune God. And I'm sure that many of you pray in your cars, in your bedroom, probably in the park, in the woods, in a walk, maybe on an airplane, at work, in the factory, or the office, at school, maybe in the grocery store. But can you think of a more unlikely, unusual, filthy, gross place to pray? Than inside of a fish's belly? That was the God-appointed prayer chapel for the prophet Jonah. Inside the belly of a large fish. Our first scripture reading this morning laid the groundwork for our sermon. It showed us how Jonah got in this predicament. God came to his prophet and said, I want you to go and proclaim my word to the wicked, ungodly, unbelieving Ninevites. But Jonah refused. He disobeyed God, and he tried to run away from his calling by running away from God. But Jonah learned very quickly how impossible and foolish that is. Because God is everywhere. God sees and God knows everything. There's no place to run to, no place to hide, no place to escape from God. And that's one important lesson that Jonah learned in this experience. But he learned even a more important lesson than that. He learned a lesson that salvation comes from God, the Lord. It's interesting to note that he learned that lesson not after he was vomited up on dry ground and was saved, but he learned that lesson when he was inside the belly, that dark, stinky den of the fish. Such was Jonah's confidence. He trusted the Lord. In no way did he deserve God's love. He ran away from the Lord. He rebelled against the Lord. He spurned the Lord. Why would Jonah even think that God would even care about him? Well, he knew that God is plenteous in mercy. And salvation comes from the Lord. Our theme this morning is entitled A Distress Call Upon the Sea of Life. For anyone in danger in the sea or in the air, shipwrecked, marooned, crashed, lost, there's one international distress signal, SOS. It's a worldwide known distress signal. Someone sees that, they know someone's in trouble. Well, Jonah raised up his distress call, and there is a worldwide also Christian distress signal for every single child of God, and that is prayer. We pray to our Heavenly Father, we say, Lord, save our souls. In this morning's text, we see that, just like in Jonah's case, our distress call on the sea of life is heard in the heights above, and it's answered in the depths below. From what I have read, panic is one of the greatest causes for drowning. There have been evidences of people who are trying to be saved by someone, and in panic, they beat away their rescuer, trying to keep themselves above water, and then they drown. One can imagine the panic that was in Jonah's heart as he slunk to the bottom of the sea. We can almost hear it in his words, in his prayer. He says, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings, the foundation of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Jonah was helplessly being swallowed up by that dark and cold chamber of the sea. These were words of a dying person. Very often we hear that when people face death, they say their whole lives pass in front of them. Well, Jonah's life didn't just go in front of him, but his sins surely did. His sins who caused this whole mess in the first place were in front of him. And he remembered his relationship with his Lord and his God. And therefore, as he sunk into this watery grave, his thoughts turned to his all-important relationship with his God. And it was that, his thoughts of his Lord, that caused his panic to cease and brought peace and calm to his heart. Imagine sinking to the bottom of the sea. Getting to the bottom and your body is wrapped up in the seaweed in the bottom of the sea and you think for sure you're going to die. And then suddenly out of nowhere, a big fish comes and swallows you whole. His fear, panic and distress turns into more fear, panic, and then suddenly remorse. Jonah sets before us a marvelous faith example. With his life ebbing away, Jonah turned to the Lord, knowing that he's near at all times. And with him there is salvation. With his SOS distress signal from the bottom of the sea and the belly of the fish, the Lord heard in the heights above. Jonah said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol, the grave, I cried, and you heard my voice. You have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. My prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Jonah did not despair. He did not lose heart. He knew the importance of the words of God, such as, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you'll glorify me. He knew those words, cast all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Even in the throes of death itself, Jonah could pray and say, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. Salvation is of the Lord. Remember, all these words were spoken not after he was vomited on dry ground and he was safe. These were spoken when he was still in that belly, not knowing what was going to happen to him. Such was his confidence. and his faith. We're told in Hebrews 11, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not only could Jonah not see anything in the dark belly of the fish, but he couldn't see himself on dry ground, but he believed it could happen. He believed that God could spare him and save his life, not only from drowning, but also from this great fish. And we see from our second point of our text this morning that his distress prayer was answered in the depths below. God delivered Jonah from the belly of the fish in a remarkable way, as he did by swallowing him, and that is by having this dripping fish swim to the shore and then throw up and vomit him on dry ground, and he was alive. Many modern-day biblical scholars today look upon the book of Jonah as nonsense. It's a fish story, make-believe, a fairy tale like Pinocchio being swallowed by a whale. Yet it is recorded in Scripture and is therefore God's Word. And Scripture cannot be broken. And God's Word is truth. And to further prove that this event actually did happen, not only as a lesson to Jonah himself, the Lord Jesus referred back to it, as we heard in our Scripture reading this morning in Luke chapter 11, and also in Matthew 12. This miraculous event was not only for Jonah's sake, it also was to be a sign. The Lord said there will be no sign given to the Jewish people except for this sign, the sign of Jonah. And what was the sign? The resurrection. Even as Jonah was for 3 days in the belly of the fish and then vomited on dry ground, so the Lord Jesus will be 3 days in the heart of the earth and then resurrected to everlasting life. The story of a father and his little boy riding the car together. The little boy was allergic to bee stings. The window was open, all of a sudden a bee came into the car, and the boy was screaming and yelling and waving his hands, and the father grabbed out, caught the bee, and the bee stung in his hand. With the stinger still in his hand, he opened his palm and the bee flew out, and the boy again started screaming and yelling, and the father said, "It's okay, son. Don't fear. The sting is gone." And that's what Jesus says to us today too. He has come to take away the sting of death. Death killed him, or better, he willingly gave himself into death. And when he rose again, he took away the sting of death. He says to us, do not be afraid. Do not fear. There is no sting. Paul tells us, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning's theme is a distress call on the sea of life. And very often our life is like floating on a sea. Sometimes we float along in calm waves. Day after day, the Lord sends soft, gentle breezes, and we're pushed along. But some days, the waves of life, the billows, the breakers, break over our heads. The current goes faster than we can keep up, and we feel like because of the problems and grief and pain and sorrow and distress of life, we're being drowned. We're surrounded by the deep, engulfed by problems, and we sink deeper and deeper into despair. The problems, the cares, the concerns of this life, like seaweed, wrap themselves around us, and we fear that we are drowning. And at a time like times like these, that so often we cry out, "Why, Lord?" Or we think that maybe God has forsaken us. Maybe He's punishing us for some reason. Our hearts fail. Our faith wanes. It's a natural reaction. A natural reaction of a sinful heart and weakness of faith. When bad things happen like this, God tells us that for those who love Him, it's for our good. For believers in Jesus Christ, it's to strengthen us. If the Lord had let Jonah run away in his rebellion, all the way to Tarshish, what good would that have been for him? He would remain in his rebellion, unrepentant, hardened heart. His faith may have died completely, and he would have died in unbelief and death and destruction. That's far worse than drowning. And by this disaster in the sea, his near-drowning experience, the Lord spared Jonah's life, not just physically, but spiritually, and brought him back to him. No doubt, Jonah, looking back on his life, said, "Boy, am I glad I was thrown into the sea. That's the best thing that ever happened to me, because God spared me and called me back to him." And so should we look upon the sorrows and trials and troubles and difficulties and distresses and disasters of our life. Instead of turning away from the Lord, running away from Him, rejecting Him in those times, the Lord is simply calling us to Him, testing our faith, seeking for us to cling even more tightly to His Word and to His powerful grace, and to be led to declare, "Salvation comes from the Lord." It's interesting to note that in this prayer of Jonah's in the belly of the fish, many of those phrases that he prayed were quotes from the Old Testament. He knew his scriptures very well. And so when he was in trouble, he prayed to God with words that God had already taught him in his word. And many a Christian has done the same. In days of trial and tribulation and illness or approaching death, their hearts are filled with psalms and passages and hymns that they learned many years earlier in their Sunday school or confirmation days. Jonah's closing statement in our text is very important too. He says, "Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy." If we turn to the meaningless, empty things of this life when we're in trouble, and not God, we forfeit God's steadfast love. If we look to ourselves to save us from all of our sins and all the problems of life, then we've rejected God's grace. If we instead follow our own self-will when God calls us to serve in His kingdom, we're in danger of rejecting that forgiveness that Jesus Christ earned for each of us. Because just like Jonah, we too did not deserve to be saved. How many times haven't we rejected God? How many times haven't we spurned Him and tried to run away from serving Him? Why would we think that God would even care about us? May we have the same confident faith that Jonah had, knowing that the Lord is plenteous in mercy, because salvation only comes from the Lord. Amen.